Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Super Bowl 56 is set as the Cincinnati Bengals will face off against the Los Angeles Rams. Welcome into Fantasy Football Today, DFS, on Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022 is the date. I thought that was pretty interesting. I am Frank Stanfield, joined as always by Mike McClure and Sian Ajad, and we've got a unique podcast for you today. Obviously, we can only talk so much about the DFS slate, so instead, we're going to look at this game from all different avenues, a real-life game perspective, betting perspective, player props, and then later on, of course, we will look at showdown pricing over on DraftKings. But first, boy, am I happy. Conference Championship Week is over. Mike, just an absolutely brutal outing for your boy. Not a single prop cashes, not a single DFS lineup cashes. It happens. It happens to the best of us. I'm probably not the best of us. You guys are the best. But, man, what just an awful week. I don't have to obviously explain that to you because, unfortunately, your Chiefs are out, so you're dealing with that. But we've got some new blood in the Super Bowl. How are you feeling?
New blood in the Super Bowl. Not feeling great. I had a great week in DFS overall, which definitely eased the sting just a little bit. But I would be lying to you if I said I was completely recovered from the Chiefs not playing in the Super Bowl. We talk about comebacks all the time. The Bengals winning that game the way they did, I think based on where the score was and win probability was in the first half, pretty improbable, pretty disastrous collapse on the Kansas City side, but I am excited to see what Joe Burrow can do against the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, we'll see. Joe Burrow playing lights out football right now, and overall the Bengals, they're riding a wave of momentum. See, how was Conference Championship weekend for you? It was just a bloodbath for me.
Yeah, listen, I didn't have any dogs in the fight, if you will, like Mike did in terms of a team, because I'm a Washington football team fan. Oh, wait, no, it's the Washington Commanders now. So sorry, I didn't mean to like steal that storyline if we're going that direction. But, you know, because of that, it was purely DFS and betting for me. From a betting standpoint, I had both dogs, so that's all well and good. DFS was okay. I cashed some lineups. You know, I was pretty big on Odell Beckham last week, so that helped me cash a ton of lineups. Of course, I took Mike's advice with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce certainly got there, and Tyreek Hill wasn't too bad either. So the DFS day was good. Wasn't great. It was good because, you know, Joe Burrow didn't do exactly what I wanted him to do. Other than that, it was nice to hit on the dogs, but it was just a great, two great football games, four deserving teams going to the Super Bowl. Frankly, eight deserving teams going to the Super Bowl if we go back 2 weeks. And unfortunately, there's only a spot for two, and there's only one Super Bowl winner, and we casually forget about everybody else in the mix. You know, when we think about this season 3 years from now, we won't even remember that the San Francisco 49ers were in the conference championship. We might forget that Patrick Mahomes was battling and should have probably, you know, entered another Super Bowl. But here we are. We got two teams left.
Yeah, we won't remember the 49ers by then because Trey Lance will have already won a Super Bowl 3 years from now, right? So we'll see what happens there in that direction. Look, I'd be lying. I'm happy that the Bengals are here. They deserve to be here, and I'm very happy for Bengals fans. It's an awesome story that they've made it this far. But I would be lying if I said I didn't want to watch the Chiefs and the Rams in the Super Bowl, like, just straight up. Like, of course, I want to watch Patrick Mahomes play more football. But that doesn't mean that we aren't excited about the Bengals again and potentially even backing the Bengals in the Super Bowl. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Sia, you teased this Washington Commander situation. Should we just call you Commander Sia from now on? Is that cool? Is that what we're rolling with?
I guess. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty cool. So this, if you're watching us on YouTube, which you absolutely should be, the uniforms look great. I think both sets, or I guess all three sets of uniforms that we see on the screen here, are great. I love the helmets. Somebody brought up on Twitter earlier that the W for Washington looks like the W in the Waste Management Open, or, you know, for the Waste Management company. So I think that's kind of funny and interesting, but And that, by the way, that tournament comes up during the Super Bowl. For those of you that don't know, Mike does golf stuff. I do golf stuff, PGA, DFS, things of that nature, betting. And that waste management tournament is going to be really interesting this coming week. But with that said, I guess it's a good name. Listen, the reality when it comes to franchises receiving new names, nobody ever likes it because everybody usually like is pays homage to the former name, or, you know, the new name usually doesn't really ring any bells because, you know, it's new. So as far as new names are concerned, I think this is just fine. It'll take some getting used to, though.
The biggest qualm that I've seen from fans is what do we call the, what is their nickname, right? Like, if you try to shorten it, it's like every way that you shorten it doesn't really sound too great. So I don't know what's going to happen there. I like the uniforms. I'm with you. I mean, this black uniform that we see up on the screen, it looks pretty clean. I like that quite a bit, the black alternate. But Washington Commanders, that's where we're at. Mike, I don't know if you have like a strong opinion on this new name change. It sounds like they were considering a few different things here, but there you go. Washington Commanders.
Yeah, I don't have a strong take on it. I hope that they can find some success. I think the team and the franchise and the fans all deserve it. Maybe a new field. I hate that place. That place is awful. But I think that that's the next order of business for them. Put a competitive product on the field and potentially a new stadium.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it starts at the quarterback position there. We'll see what happens with Washington in the offseason. It's going to take me some time to get over calling them the Washington football team. I kind of like it. Had a nice ring to it. Anyway.
I didn't mind it either, for the record.
Commander Sia. That's what we're going to go with. Before we get into the nitty gritty, just want to give everyone a programming update. We'll have two pods next week. One that focuses solely on betting, the game, player props, wacky props, all that kind of fun stuff for the Super Bowl. And then we will have a podcast later on in the week where we break down the showdown slate even further, you know, maybe combinations of lineups that we're looking at, captains that we're considering. Obviously, we'll take a closer look at pricing as well. I'm thinking Tuesday release for the betting and then Thursday release for DFS. So be on the lookout for those. Let's start with Super Bowl 56. Just our initial thoughts overall. It's the Bengals at the Rams. For the second year in a row, a team will be playing the Super Bowl on their home field. Last year, the Bucks were playing in Tampa. And this year, of course, the Rams are playing in LA at SoFi Stadium. The line opened up with the Rams -3.5, quickly bet up to Rams -4. And it kind of felt like that's where it would last for a while. But now we're seeing Rams -4.5 at most books. So, Mike, what is your thoughts overall on the line here, where it opened, where it's kind of settled for now, and maybe where it might be headed?
Yeah, I think it's going to stay right. I don't think it hits 5, right? I think it's going to stay in the 4 to 4.5 range. I don't think we see 3.5s again. My simulation makes it -4.1. At this point, that is most likely where I expect the market to kind of settle. Like I said, bounce between 4 and 4.5. As far as where it opened and why we've seen some of the movement, it's not often that a home team gets to play the Super Bowl at home, or a team gets to play the Super Bowl at home, and now they're having their back two consecutive home games. There's been no travel at all involved for them. It's a pretty advantageous spot. Now an additional week off. We're talking 3 weeks essentially of not traveling at all on a plane. It's a pretty big deal for that team. And I think that that's kind of reflective a little bit in the 1 point movement in the market. And I think that that's where it's going to settle. Like I said, my number is 4.1 on it. I think it's mostly efficient where it's at. I think that they should be favored by, you know, more than a field goal, but less than a touchdown. And I think the market's got it right. I think the only thing that's interesting to note is the betting percentages on it so far. The tickets are about even in terms of 50% of the action on each side, but about 75 to 80% of the money is on the Rams side.
All right, so some early money here coming in on the Rams. See, early thoughts here on where the line opened up, 3.5, kind of settled in at 4.5 as of now. Do you think this line moves either way? And what do you think about this home field advantage type storyline here for the Rams? Because I would have to imagine, I mean, as expensive as ticket prices are for this game, I mean, it is absurd. It's crazy right now. I would imagine that there's like a pretty good mix of like just celebrities and just fans of both sides. So what do you think about the line and the potential home field advantage for the Rams?
So it's weird because it's the Super Bowl. So you're going to get sort of a corporate feel from a fandom standpoint. Obviously there is going to be an advantage for the Rams. I think people, because there's a slight advantage to the Rams, I think people who are, you know, maybe a little neutral, might just kind of fall into the, instead of betting the underdog, just fall into the fact that, hey, this is the home team, let me go root for them. But I don't think it's a really big deal either way. I think, just as a side note, it's very interesting to me that both, we have two LA teams, and we saw just last week that, you know, San Francisco traveled really well. They probably sort of dominated that from a percentage standpoint in terms of fans in the stadium. You could hear, I mean, you know, the Rams, Stafford had to go on a silent count a couple times, which is very interesting. And I just as a little side note, there's two LA teams. Like, could we have left one in San Diego? Yeah, probably. Or maybe put one somewhere else. But I don't think home field is going to be a huge deal other than what Mike said. You know, they get to stay home for this extended period of time. I think there are some advantages there. As far as the line, I'm not surprised it moved. You know, when it opened at 3.5, I thought it was fine. But, you know, the more I think about the matchup, it's not the best matchup for the Bengals, especially when you consider their offensive line and how exposed they're probably going to be against the front four, the front seven of the Rams. So it wouldn't shock me, especially considering what Mike said about the amount of money that is already on the Rams versus the tickets. I mean, this probably could pop to 5. I don't think it'll go back down to 4. If it does, I don't think it'll stay there very long. So I wouldn't be shocked if this line ended up settling at 5.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about those advantages and the matchup. Sia, come back your way here. You already mentioned, I think the biggest storyline here will be the Bengals offensive line versus the defensive line of the Los Angeles Rams. And the Rams had a pressure percentage of 31.9% in the regular season that was tied for 9th in football. That number has gone up to 34.7% in the postseason. So that's one of the more obvious ones there. Is there anything else that you're looking for in terms of advantages or matchups to watch here, Rams and Bengals?
Well, Ramsey is, you say Rams and it just falls right into Ramsey. I think that's an interesting matchup in terms of where they use him. We know Ramsey doesn't necessarily shadow. There's really two elite receivers on the Bengals. I have a feeling the way this game is going to go is that there's going to be such an incredible amount of pressure on Burrow that he is going to have to get the ball out very fast. And while Ja'Marr Chase factors into that a little bit, I think T. Higgins actually probably gets a little bit more of the benefit of sort of some of those like lower A dot reception. So that's somebody I think to maybe key in on DFS or in the prop market. I think Burrow is going to get the ball out very fast. I think Mixon, and keep in mind Uzama's not there, and Drew Sample isn't exactly a guy that's going to be, you know, killing it like we saw with Kendall Blanton, who came in for the Rams. So I think Mixon and T. Higgins are going to get the ball often. And I think Burrow is going to be in a little bit of trouble. They know that going in. The Rams know he's going to try to get the ball out really quickly. So that, you know, adding that all together and knowing that the Rams are probably going to be able to move the ball pretty effectively against the Bengals, I see the Rams probably coming out on top here.
All right, Mike, let's jump over to the other side here with the Bengals. I was looking more into it, trying to find, you know, what's the edge for the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, turnover margin is something that they've thrived on so far in the postseason. They're plus 5 in terms of turnover differential. They have 6 interceptions in the postseason. But typically turnovers, I mean, they're not sticky game to game. So it's like, how much do you actually put into that? How much stock do you put into the turnovers here for the Bengals? Obviously, they got an interception late against the Chiefs, and that's ultimately what helped them win that game. The only other thing I'm looking at here, and we can't quantify this, it's really just momentum, right? The fact that the Bengals beat the Chiefs, they've made it this far, and they kind of have like a it feeling right now. They're playing with house money, right? It's like, it's very obvious to me that the Rams need this more than the Bengals do. Like, there's more pressure on the Rams to actually win this game. So from a Bengals perspective, what do you see in terms of maybe some matchup advantages against the Rams?
It sounds bad to say this, but they don't have any matchup advantages against the Rams. They really don't. They're outmatched on every way, on every side. It's not significant mismatch for them in every way. But they have electric players. They could certainly compete and play. But you're right. This reminds me of what it feels like. And the reason I say, there's a couple of reasons. It's a cross sport analogy. I'm a Kansas City fan. I grew up in Kansas City. I follow the Kansas City Royals. The Kansas City Royals, with their 2 World Series runs, somewhat improbable, not really expected at that time. Obviously had good pieces, weren't able to keep it together. This team for Cincinnati in this run feels a lot like the Royals in their run to the World Series. A lot of playing with house money, a lot of improbable, a lot of being underrated. And frankly, I think I'm probably still underrating the Bengals a little bit. But in terms of edges that they have, they don't have, in my opinion, an edge really anywhere. And they have a massive disadvantage when it comes to their offensive line versus the Rams' defensive line. So it's going to take more spectacular play from Joe Burrow at this point. And some turnover luck would certainly help. But yeah, they've been very, very fortunate to come back and be in this position. And like you said, at that point, they've got nothing to lose. They're out there having fun, and that's what makes a team dangerous.
Yeah, and I think most people listening to this, not that you should take my betting advice, but I'm leaning with the Bengals. I mean, for that exact reason. It sounds weird, like everything statistically, everything you just said, matchups-wise, it seems like it's in favor of the Rams, but given that pressure and the fact that the Rams have built this entire team to win a Super Bowl, like there's no doubt in my mind that there is pressure on them to make this happen. Oh, yeah. I kind of feel like this is the Bengals' game. The Bengals game here. So that's the way that I'm leaning as of now. Do they win? I don't know. But like 4.5, that seems like too many points to me. See, do you have an early lean in terms of the points here, Rams and Bengals?
Yeah. And by the way, I see your point. There certainly is an it factor with Joe Burrow. I liked the Bengals against the Rams because mostly because they were getting a full touchdown. Unless they were getting a touchdown here, that's why I think I like the Rams, because at 4.5 or 5 or 4, I just think it's not that I think the Rams are like the best team in the NFL. I truly don't. I just think the matchup is really bad especially when you consider that really, really big time disadvantage on the interior. So I think that's where I'm going with it. I'll take the Rams minus the points.
Mike, do you have an early lean on the game? I know you mentioned your system is spitting out 4.1, I believe, is the line. What do you think?
Yeah, at this point, if I had to play it, I would play it with the Rams still. I think that's the most likely scenario for me would be betting with the Rams. But I'll have them in some teasers and alternative plays, but I don't have a full play on the spread as of now. But if I were forced to make one, I would play the Rams right now, anything under 5.
Okay, yeah. And of course, if you want more betting advice or picks, you should check out Early Edge. I know the Mega Preview came out yesterday. I listened to that. I thought you guys did a fantastic job. So if you're looking for props or just any early plays in terms of the line, Mike, I know you gave out like a teaser hybrid, I guess just like a parlay that you played, a 3-leg. So that sounded interesting as well. So make sure you check out the Early Edge and their Mega Preview there for the Super Bowl. Any thoughts on the total here? It opened up at 49.5. It's dropped down to 48.5. Sia, we'll start with you.
I lean towards the under. First of all, you know, I can't say this is going to happen this year as well, but you do see kind of a feeling out period in most Super Bowls where there's a little bit of tentativeness on both sides of the ball. So, I mean, maybe that plays into, I know Mike sometimes bets first quarter unders. Maybe it plays into that, or maybe first half unders. But overall, I do think that obviously impacts the overall total. And the thing is, I think the Bengals will be able to move the ball here and there, but I don't think it's going to be a high scoring output for them. And frankly, I think the Rams, while they do enjoy passing the ball, that's kind of their modus operandi, I think they're going to be able to run the ball too. And frankly, I think if the Kansas City Chiefs really decided to dedicate themselves to running the ball against the Bengals, particularly late second quarter or the entire second half, I think we would be talking about them as well. They were averaging plenty of yards per carry, and then they just kind of went to the pass for whatever reason. So I think the Rams understand that, and I think Cam Akers and maybe a little bit of Sony Michel are going to enjoy enough clock rotation for that under to come in.
All right, Mike, to see his point there, I feel like he's right. There normally is a feeling out process. Maybe we don't really see many points early on in the Super Bowl. What do you think about this total at 48.5?
Yeah, it's interesting to note it did start all the way up at 50 initially, bet down pretty quickly. I think it should be 47.5 myself. I really respect the Rams defensive front, and I think it's going to make some of those Cincinnati drives a little difficult. And then Cincinnati, they have this philosophy for whatever reason. I'd love to see them change it. If I watch the game and see them changing it, I might be more inclined to bet them live. But their inability or unwillingness to throw the football on first down just puts them behind the chains so often. And this is not the defense that you want to do this against. But we've seen it time and time again. Even after picking up a first down, they will constantly pound Joe Mixon for 1 to 3 yards and set up 2nd and 8, 2nd and 7 every single time. And that's putting themselves behind the chains. I think that they do that early just to see what they have on the ground. And that typically leads to a little lower scoring early in the game. The only comment that I want to make on this, though, if you follow the Early Edge, you know, we talked about the referees a little bit here. In the Bengals game last week, we basically talked about on this show and on the Early Edge that there weren't going to be many penalty calls last week because Vinovich just simply does not call penalties. Well, in the Super Bowl here, it is Ron Torbert. Ron Torbert is a very interesting referee. He has a ton of history with the Rams and their games. The Rams are 6-1 against the spread, 6-1 straight up with him calling the games. But what I want to talk about is his penalty calling. He had 7 games this season with 100-plus penalty yards. One with the Bengals against the Chiefs in that game in Week 17 that they won. One for the Rams already. But he definitely is going to call some of the penalties a lot tighter. I think that that could have an interesting role. That typically helps the over more than the under. So it is interesting to see my model on the under. It's interesting to see the betting market kind of trending towards the under. It could be a spot, if this drops down into the 47 range, where I would consider the contrarian over at that point, or again, watch how the game is called. If we see any ticky-tack touch defensive holding calls early in this game, you can bet that it's going to be a situation where you're going to want to play a live over, because these offenses with these wide receivers will definitely be able to generate penalties if they're going to call them.
All right, some interesting notes there on the officiating here in Super Bowl 56. Let's jump into the player prop lines. And I've got a bunch of stuff written out here, from passing to QB rushing, just all the running back props, receiving yards, so on and so forth. So we'll just quickly run through all these. And then at the end of the segment, we'll kind of give out some early leans and player props that we're looking at overall here. Let's start with the quarterbacks and the passing yards. Matthew Stafford, 278.5. He's gone over this number in 13 of 20 games this season. Joe Burrow, 273.5, has gone over this number in 9 of 19 games, has gone under it in 2 of 3 playoff games. Sia, do you have a lean or any thoughts here on the passing yardage props for Stafford and Burrow?
My lean for both is the under, but I don't know that I'm willing to bet either. I think I would like to wait to see. I mean, we know with overs in general, like, you know, they tend to be inflated a little bit because people generally like to bet overs. I wonder, maybe Mike's a better person for this, but I wonder if those Stafford and Burrow props, particularly maybe Stafford, if that maybe shoots up a yard or two over the next, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 days when the Super Bowl starts. So for now, I would definitely stay away because I'm leaning on the under. I don't think it'll go down too much for either of these guys. But yeah, I think the running game is definitely in play for the Rams. And I just wonder, even if there's like, quote, garbage time at the end, and that assumes, of course, that the Rams are playing with a big enough lead, I just wonder how much Burrow is going to be able to move the ball downfield. I'm not saying he's not going to get a lot of completions and a lot of pass attempts. I just wonder how many yards he's going to be able to generate drive to drive.
All right, so I wrote down these props about 2 hours ago before recording this, and Stafford's number actually came down a yard since then. So it was 279.5 earlier. It's now down to 278.5. All of these odds, should have mentioned earlier, come via Caesars Sportsbook. So obviously, if you're playing props, you want to shop around and see where you get the best line, depending on if you like the over or under. But yeah, Stafford has actually come down a line here, 1 yard, and he is at 278.5. Burrow, again, 273.5. Obviously, the over-under in terms of touchdown passes, 1.5 for each. Stafford, -220 to the over. Joe Burrow, -160 to the over. Mike, do you have any strong thoughts here in terms of either passing touchdowns or passing yards for each?
Yeah, so I, like Sia, I do lean towards the under on both of them. A little stronger lean on Stafford's under. There are just more paths to Joe Burrow having ample garbage time to get there. I say this every week on the Early Edge. No one has created this market for me, unfortunately, but I would love to be able to bet quarterback passing yardages in the first quarter and in the first half. I want someone to create that market for me. I would absolutely love that. But yeah, I lean under on both of them, and Sia's dead on, especially in an event like the Super Bowl where there's one game and a ton of time. If you're looking to bet overs on props, do it yesterday. Do it now. Do it yesterday. Do it as quickly as you possibly can. If you're looking to bet unders, let's do it during pregame warmups. That's when you want to bet the under, because these yards, these numbers will get steamed up by 3 to 4 yards, especially on the receiving yardage front. Definitely want to look to unders late. So I like Stafford's under. I have this number all the way down to 259. Seems like a huge edge. It's not massive. We look for pretty big edges when we're playing under on passing yardage, just because you're talking basically one completion that could kind of change those numbers. But I do have it all the way down here. And I'll tell you the reason for it is because of the pass rush that the Rams put on Joe Burrow tends to create some of the shorter fields for the Rams, also puts them in game scripts where they're leading and not trailing, not needing to rack up yards as quickly. So that's why that number is all the way down there. If I had to play any of these, it would be Stafford's under. I lean towards the under on Burrow, not enough to play it though.
All right. Obviously, neither of these quarterbacks are rushing quarterbacks per se. Stafford's line, 5.5 rushing yards. Joe Burrow, 11.5 rushing yards. Burrow actually only went over that number in 3 of 19 games this season, but coming off a game where he had 25 rushing yards. See, this one's pretty interesting because, again, like neither of these guys are typically rushing quarterbacks, but you see in a game where there's desperation, they do things that they haven't done before. So I don't know that we want to touch either of these, but I think it's worth mentioning. What do you think?
What was the rushing total?
Stafford is 5.5, Burrow 11.5.
Yeah, I kind of like the overs in both of those, by the way. I don't think I'm going to bet them either. I think I like the Burrow one a little bit better. I just think with the pass rush, he's going to be more inclined to escape the pocket on maybe more than a couple of occasions and likely pick up that 11.5.
All right. So yeah, if you like Burrow right now over at Caesars, the over is plus 100. So you're getting that at even money for Joe Burrow rushing yards. How about the running backs? We see Cam Akers at 63.5 rushing yards. Joe Mixon at 64.5 rushing yards. Mike, what do you think about these two running backs?
So I'm definitely leaning under on Mixon. I like the unders a lot there. The Akers one is very interesting to me. I assume that he maintains the share of all the carries. I'm always nervous that Sony Michel could take work from him at some point. Longer time to prepare. Just it's a spot where I'm not going to play it either way, but I do like the under on Joe Mixon. Just has not been effective. I'm guessing, hoping, thinking that they will figure out that they're not going to be able to run the ball on first down as frequently. I think it leads to even fewer carries for Joe Mixon. So I'll take the under on Mixon, but I'm not touching Akers personally.
All right. Cam Akers has 55 rushing yards or less in 3 straight games, but the Bengals allow 4.5 yards per carry to running backs. That is the 6th most in the NFL. Joe Mixon has gone under that 64.5 number in 6 of his last 8 games, and it's quite a tough matchup here against the Rams. Sia, what do you think about the receiving yardage for both of these running backs? Cam Akers, 15.5 is the number. Joe Mixon, 26.5.
Yeah, I like the Mixon over of 26.5, and it's mostly because he's not going to be able to run the ball. I completely agree with Mike, and honestly, I'll be taking Mixon under 64.5 rushing yards. With that said, I do think they're going to be able to utilize him in the passing game, particularly because of that pass rush. So I think 26.5 is very attainable for Joe Mixon. I like that. As far as Cam Akers, that one is a stay away from me in terms of his receiving yards, but I will say this. I do like his rushing yards over of 63.5. I'll be taking that. And part of the reason there is because, like you said, 4.5 yards per carry against the Bengals, but also his yards per carry ticked up last week, and that was with the shoulder injury that he was kind of nursing. He went from 2.6 yards per carry during the playoffs when he came back from his Achilles injury up to 3.7 yards per carry, and now he gets to enjoy a defense that's not nearly as good against the run. So given the game plan and how he looked last week, even with a shoulder injury, I don't see Sony Michel diving into that work as much as maybe he did the last week. He had 10 carries, I think, for 16 yards. He was very inefficient. I think he was in the game for a couple reasons. One is because of the fumble woes from Cam Akers from the week prior, but also because he did have that shoulder injury. I think after 2 weeks of rest, I think it's a renewed confidence in Cam Akers. So I like the over in his rushing yards, but I'm staying away from his passing yardage total.
Rushing and receiving combined, Cam Akers is at 82.5, Joe Mixon at 95.5. I have taken Joe Mixon the under on this number, and a little worried about it now. I think I should have just gone with the under in the rushing yardage for the reasons you mentioned. See, I think the fact that this pass rush is as good as it is, it wouldn't surprise me if they have some quick dump offs to Joe Mixon. And if CJ Uzomah does not play in the Super Bowl, then I think that we could see even more targets in the short area for Joe Mixon. So in hindsight, I probably would take the Mixon under rushing rather than the total yards here. Mike, what do you think about either Akers 82.5, Mixon 95.5?
Yeah, I lean under on both of them personally. I'm not touching the Akers one. I have already played the Joe Mixon under 95.5. I would play that one all the way down to 85.5 personally. I know it seems like a very low number. I don't think they're going to have success running the football at all, and I don't think they're going to find themselves in positions to be able to run the football much after the first half of this game. So my real worry, look, I think it's kind of fun because I might play the over on his receiving yards and still the under on the combo, which might sound a little crazy to you, right? Trying to middle those numbers, but I really think we can do that. I don't think it's going to be all Joe Mixon in the passing game. I think it'll be a little bit of Joe Mixon early, but once they figure out that they are going to be in trouble in terms of that pass rush, there's a reason Samaje Perine plays, and that's because he's much better in pass blocking protection than Joe Mixon. And Perine has shown that he is very capable of catching the football and still being very effective in that game. He saw more targets in the passing game in the last game than Joe Mixon did. And a lot of that wasn't necessarily because he's better than Joe Mixon or they like him a lot better than Joe Mixon. He's on the field more because he has to be to protect Joe Burrow. And I think that we see that a lot here in these situations, especially if it's a hurry-up situation. They're not going to have time to get him out there. The only caveat to that would be, and you have to watch, you might have to have a live betting situation on Mixon overs in the game. If Uzama is out, I can absolutely see situations where they run Perine and Joe Mixon at the same time and split Perine or Mixon out wide like we used to see in the past with Le'Veon Bell at times in the NFL. I think that we absolutely could see that now that we have a week and a half to essentially implement that for the Bengals. They're going to want both of those guys on the field if Uzama is out. So something to keep in mind, something to watch for, but I still am on the under 95.5.
Mike, unfortunately, you just reminded me of last weekend when I took Joe Mixon over 28.5 receiving yards. He finishes with 27. And of course, Samaje Perine has 3 catches for 43 yards and that receiving touchdown. It was just so painful to watch. And of course, I'm reminded of that now. Let's take a quick break. When we return, we'll get into the receiving yardage for both the Rams and the Bengals here on Fantasy Football Today DFS.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so let's jump into the Rams receiving yards. We have Cooper Kupp at 102.5. We have Odell Beckham, 63.5. Van Jefferson, 34.5. See, anything stand out here for you?
For the Rams receivers, not really. I mean, I was all over Beckham last week. I think 63.5 is very much attainable. Same with Cooper Kupp at 102.5. I don't think there's an edge there for me. So for me, it's kind of a stay away. I think if I was going to take anything, no, I would probably take the under. Believe it or not, I would take the under on Beckham probably. But I think I'm more interested in taking the under on Beckham with respect to his receptions as opposed to yards. Van Jefferson is very intriguing to me. I think he's going to be an interesting kind of gimmicky play, whether it's in DFS or in the prop bet market. But I don't know that I'm ready to take his over at 34.5. I will say this. I did notice, I don't know if everybody knows from the early edge, that Mike McClure actually sort of named the Van Jefferson Memorial this first touchdown score when he had Van Jefferson as the first touchdown score when the season started. But I think he's interesting as a first touchdown score because of the attention that those other two guys are going to get. He's plus 1,800, so I'm just throwing that out there. It's kind of nice that the last sort of, for those of you that watch early edge, the last VJM pick could actually be the first VJM pick, courtesy of M Squared.
Very nice there. The Van Jefferson Memorial. Let's see who winds up with that here in the Super Bowl. Cooper Kupp over 102.5. I've actually bet it already myself. He's gone over this number in 13 of 20 games, but I'm with you, C. I do like the over the receptions number as well there at 8.5. The guy's just seeing so many targets. Mike, any leans here? Any thoughts on Kupp, Beckham, Van Jefferson?
Yeah, Kupp is the classic example of, like, I can't take the under on it. Like, it's just not going to be good, not going to be fun. I'm very worried still. Still very worried about just the Rams defense being so good, putting them in positions where they don't have to rack up as many yards. Just, you know, no one wants to talk about it. I think there's a big scenario here where the Rams win in a blowout like we thought the Chiefs were going to last weekend. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little concerned with that. I'm not playing the under on it. Not going to fault you for wanting to play the over. If the game is even remotely competitive late, he's definitely going to get there, or at least have the opportunity to get there. But I'm completely off of it. The Beckham one is interesting. The target share in the last 2 weeks for Beckham has been great. And some of it with Higbee being out again, potentially, like, I kind of lean over on Beckham's number still, just because it's so low. The way that I'm going to attack it, though, is going to be through his longest reception, which you can find at 22.5 yards. I think that that's a better number. We've seen 29 and 31 in two of the last three games. That's where I like it, because I think that you can get there in multiple game scripts with him. And the reason for that is if they're comfortably winning or just normal, you know, up by a touchdown kind of thing, I think that that's when they take the deep shot to Odell Beckham. And if they're trailing or in an ultra competitive game, I think he ends up getting there just through that. But I think that there are scenarios here where we think about Kupp when they're winning. I think that Beckham's the guy that they will take deeper shots down the field to while they're in control of this game. So if I had to play one of the two, it would actually be Odell Beckham at that number.
All right. Yeah. And you know, you mentioned the Van Jefferson Memorial Sia before and Van Jefferson potentially playing out in that role. The other day I saw Odell Beckham at 10-1. First touchdown score. And I was like, man, I kind of like that because he's been used more in the red zone. Obviously he can make that big play and, you know, obviously big stage Super Bowl. It feels like, you know, get stars involved. Last year I was on Gronk to score a touchdown that came through. So I kind of liked Odell Beckham 10-1. That number has dropped tremendously. It's now plus 675 over on Caesars.
Wow.
I just checked DraftKings as well. 5-1 is the first touchdown score for Odell Beckham. So you snooze, you lose, man. I should have jumped in there 10-1
insane.
On Odell Beckham. Yeah, just huge movement there in terms of him. So we'll see where do these other lines move throughout the course of the week. How about the Bengals? We have Jamar Chase, 80.5, T. Higgins, 69.5, and then Tyler Boyd down at 39.5. Notice we haven't mentioned any of the tight ends, both C.J. Uzomah and Tyler Higbee dealing with MCL sprains, so we just don't know as of now. We'll have to see what happens next week in terms of practice reports. You know, they've kind of left open the possibility of either or both of those guys playing, so we'll see what happens next week. But, Sia, what do you think about the Bengals numbers here?
So, first of all, I don't think either of those tight ends are playing. I'm betting a pretty high percentage on my rampant non-medical speculation. And the way those injuries happen to sprained MCLs, I mean, coming back in a couple weeks and being fine, I don't really see it. So that's just, I'm just throwing that out there because I've already looked at, like, for DFS, I've already looked at, like, guys like Kendall Blanton, for example, and I'm waiting to see props coming out on those guys because I could see a scenario where Blanton is involved yet again. So the guy I like, I think, the most here is T. Higgins, and I like his over 5.5 receptions. I like it better than the 69.5 total yards, although I think he can get there with both. Listen, any of these guys can get there, especially Jamar Chase, but I just think getting the ball out fast, yes, Chase can be that guy, but I think we've seen it over the last few weeks. T. Higgins' A-dot isn't necessarily going to be as long. He seems to be, other than Tyler Boyd, who might be in the slot, T. Higgins is one of those reliable weapons. You don't have C.J. Uzomah. You don't have that big target, but you do have a big target in T. Higgins, who's a great route runner and who sometimes can just control his A-dot that they, in terms of what the coaches like to do with him. So I see him having really a lot of work. I think he's going to outcatch Jamar Chase, maybe not outyardage him, but outcatch him. And I think he's going to serve as the safety blanket for Joe Burrow.
All right. T. Higgins also 5.5 is the number there for him. He's gone over the yardage number 69.5 in 2 of 3 playoff games, over in 8 of 17 games this season. Mike, how about you when it comes to the Bengals? We have Chase, we have Higgins, and we have Tyler Boyd. If you want to throw out any tight end numbers, just in terms of like where it's projecting or like when it opens up, what the number needs to be for you to jump on it. Feel free to mention those as well.
Yeah, I don't have much interest. If it's not going to be Uzomah playing, I don't have a ton of interest in going to Drew Sample personally. I mean, I think you could play him in DFS, obviously, much different story. But even then, I think they've priced up both of the backup tight ends because the injury news was out ahead of time. As far as the Bengals wide receivers, I do agree that T. Higgins, in terms of the reception number, is probably going to be a good look. I think he's going to certainly see enough targets to get there. I do like Tyler Boyd in the slot. I think that his number is obtainable enough. I think at least yesterday when we were on the early edge, you could grab that at 37.5. I think that number should be closer to 42. I would expect it to close around 42.5 by the time the game starts. And wouldn't even be shocked if it ballooned all the way to 45 if CJ Uzomah is truly ruled out in this game. The one prop that doesn't exist yet, it probably will by game day. I would like to find and play over on Ja'Marr Chase rushing yards. They've used him in the backfield and on end arounds a little bit over the last five games. I would expect a little bit more of that, especially if things are difficult in terms of the pass rush. They're having trouble. I wouldn't be surprised to see them put the football in his hands, not to the extent that they do with Deebo Samuel, the 49ers, that is, but I do think that they do that. So I'm going to be watching for that. I would expect it to be like over 2.5 rushing yards. I don't think it'll be the freebie of 1.5 or a half a yard, but be on the lookout for that because I definitely think Ja'Marr Chase ends up with at least one, but as many as 4 or 5 carries in this game.
All right. Yeah. He has at least one carry in 3 straight. And in those 3 games, 3 rushing yards, 2 rushing yards, 23 rushing yards there for Ja'Marr Chase. All right. So you mentioned already some of these props that you like overall. Are there any that you've either bet already or you're leaning towards betting?
Yeah, there's a few that I've bet and there's a few that I'm leaning towards. So I'll just rattle them off real quick. I think we've gone over all of them. Mixon under 64.5 rushing yards. Mixon over 26.5 receiving yards. Although I will say that the P Ryan stuff that Mike dropped is very compelling. I mean, remember what he did with that screen against Kansas City. That literally was the turning point of the game. A lot of people think it's, you know, Kansas City, you know, failing to score at the end of the first half, but it was really that P Ryan play where it was like, oh, I guess the Bengals are kind of in this game. So they clearly rely on him, even when it was going badly for him against the Titans, when he kind of was part of the reason there was an interception there. They don't hesitate putting him into the game in situations where they think it requires it. So that's interesting. T. Higgins over 5.5 receptions, I do like. Cam Akers over 63.5 rushing yards, I like. And let me say one other thing. If you think the Bengals are going to win, it's plus 170 money line. I don't think the Bengals are going to win. But if you think the Bengals are going to win, I would just go ahead and bet Burrow MVP at plus 225. Because I don't see many paths to the Bengals winning. And the quarterback of the Bengals, the future, one of the future guys of the NFL, right up there with Pat Mahomes at this point. I don't see him not getting the MVP trophy. So again, if you're interested in playing the Bengals and you want to take the, you just want to go money line, I think there's basically like a 90% chance that if they win this game, maybe 95% chance, if they win this game, Joe Burrow is the MVP. So go ahead and take the plus 225 as MVP instead of the plus 170 money line on the Bengals.
All right, some MVP thoughts there from Sia and Mike. What are you thinking? I know you've already mentioned these picks. Did you actually bet them already, or are you waiting? Maybe you're waiting to see if Mixon's number gets pushed up a little bit more before you take the under.
I don't think I've already bet the Mixon one. I don't think it goes up. I think that one goes down personally, just because I know myself and another couple people that really are influential in that space. They've already talked about playing it as well. So I think that if anything, that one's going to go down. Just my personal opinion on that one. As far as Odell Beckham, I haven't taken his over yet on the longest reception, but I do like it at 22.5. And that's all I've got in terms of individual player props at this point.
All right. I've got Cooper Kupp over 102.5. I have Tyler Boyd. I took that one over 39.5. Again, at Caesars, you can get it at plus 100. So even money there for Tyler Boyd. The Rams play a good amount of zone defense. CJ Uzomah banged up. Doesn't sound like he's going to go in this one. So I do like Tyler Boyd there. And then I took Joe Mixon under 95.5 total yards with Mike as well. Before we get into DFS pricing, the showdown slate over on DraftKings, I do want to give a shout out to our DFS contest winner last week for the conference championship week. And the username there, Drinking Whales Bro, puts up 155.3, took home $135. The winning lineup here includes Patrick Mahomes, Cam Akers, and Jerick McKinnon, Cooper Kupp, T. Higgins, and Jawan Jennings, Travis Kelce at tight end, OBJ at flex, and then the Rams defense. And yeah, he wrote in, he mentioned, you know, I probably should have had that ready to go. I'll pull up what he said, but yeah, basically he wanted stacks from the top two team totals, and he didn't want to play the wide receiver one for Patrick Mahomes. That's how he got different here. So he winds up playing Cooper Kupp, and that's basically what you needed. Sia, what do you think about this lineup?
Yeah, a stack of, and whether it was the quarterback or not, a stack with Kupp and Beckham was definitely the path to it's like winning this whole thing. If he had Stafford in there, it would have. I'm trying to remember what Stafford's points were, but I know a guy who won a big single entry tournament that I was in had a Stafford stack with Beckham and Cooper Kupp. So yeah, I like this lineup a lot. Listen, we all kind of knew Cam Akers was going to be trouble because it's just the right price for him, but you know, was he really going to get the work after what we saw the week before? So that ended up sort of busting, but there weren't a lot of good running backs to choose from. And if he went up to Joe Mixon, he wouldn't have been able to afford what he got here. So I don't mind the Jawan Jennings dart. I thought, you know, he definitely could have gotten loose the game before. He had 94 yards and 2 touchdowns. So that certainly makes sense. I think this is a pretty good lineup, and I'm not surprised it took it down. I love that he got Kupp, Beckham, and Kelce into his lineup. And obviously T. Higgins was no slouch either.
All right, here we go. The thought process, it was not rocket science, but was essentially stack the top two implied total teams on such a small slate, but then get different by not snagging my QB's wide receiver one, but paying up for Kupp instead. It required the Jennings punt, but it worked out. So shout out there again to Drinking Whales Bro, who takes it down. And I also wanted to mention that where does his DFS username came from? He sent in this whole email. We were talking back and forth. Apparently, a rare craft beer is a whale. And it kind of stems from that and how beer guys also say bro. So yeah, I'm a beer nerd like Heath. For those who don't know, Heath Cummings from Fantasy Football Today. Obviously, a big fan of beer, craft beer, breweries, all that kind of fun stuff. And you can follow this gentleman's Instagram, Drinking Whales Bro. That's whales with a Z for some more beer content. But wait. There's more. Mike, you haven't talked yet. You further incentivized this contest by offering up a Tiger NFT. Obviously, NFTs are where it's at right now. They are blowing up in the crypto NFT space. And you offered one to the winner as long as they had a Bengal in the lineup. And that's exactly what happened for our buddy here. Mike, I'm assuming you hooked this guy up. And obviously, he's part of your Discord. So shout out to Jake who took it down and you for, you know, further incentivizing this contest.
Yeah, he played by the rules. He got the one Cincinnati Bengal in the lineup, which is all it required. And we are going to run it back this week. Now this week, I'm going to award a Tiger NFT. If you don't know what that is, follow me on Twitter. I'll at least show you a photo. We'll tweet about it when we tweet the links. But the top three finishers will all get a Tiger NFT for this week. The caveat is simple. Play one Bengal because you have to. You can't have all your players from the same team in DFS this week. Everyone is eligible to win.
All right. And speaking of that contest, I've already made it. We have 200 entries, our biggest contest of the season. I think it makes sense. Obviously, we have 2 weeks to fill this bad boy. $5 to enter. The top 20 will get paid out in this contest. The link will be in the podcast and the YouTube description. So not only can you win our hard-earned money, our hard-earned $5 that we will be entering into this contest, but you can win a Tiger NFT as well. Make sure that you have one Bengal in your lineup. Actually, you have to have one Bengal in your lineup. So it's going to be fun. Here we go. The Super Bowl showdown slate. And let's jump right into that. What are we doing here in terms of volume on this slate? Obviously, it's a showdown. Mike, we'll start with you. You know, obviously, you have had a ton of success playing the showdown slate. What are you doing here in the Super Bowl? Should you play more lineups? A higher prize pool contest. I see that there's a $1 million contest on both DraftKings and FanDuel. $15 to enter on DK, $5 to enter on FanDuel. What are we doing for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'm playing a lot more personally. It's not often that we get to play the Millionaire Maker on DraftKings and actually have it make sense to play it. And I know that might sound weird to say, but when you're normally playing it on some of these, there's a $2.5 million or $2.25 million prize pool with $1 million to first place. Not remotely sustainable at all, really, to go try and play that. This time, It's a $6 million prize pool with $1 million to first on DraftKings. That is a lot more sustainable. You look at the payout structure and everything is a lot more sustainable. Now, all of a sudden, instead of $100K or $1 million to first and down to $20K by the time you're at third place, you got $200,000 to second, $150,000 to third, $100K to fourth. There's more money at the top. It's almost guaranteed to be a tie. It's going to be very hard to have a solo win in this one because the targets are so concentrated. So now all of a sudden, if you're able to grab that top lineup or a share of it, you're still likely looking at $50,000 to $200,000 in the split. Makes a lot more sense. So I will be playing a lot more. I'll probably have 25 to 50. It's not impossible to move that all the way up to 100 lineups in it, but 25 to 50 will be the range that I will have at a minimum for this one.
All right. See, my first thought here when I was looking through the slate was that the pricing is really tight. And I think that makes a lot of sense. Obviously, they have had some time to think about this and they've priced up the backup tight ends just in case CJ Uzomah and Tyler Higbee don't play. So what did you think about the pricing so far? And how are you handling it when it comes to the volume in terms of lineups that you're playing in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I probably won't switch it up too much than versus what I had the last couple of weeks. So what that really means is I'll probably play like 5 to 10 different lineups across maybe 4 or 5 contests. What that really means is I'll play a few single entries and I'll play a few, I'll max out a few 3 maxes. And I think for me, it's, you know, I'd prefer like a 2-game slate or a 4-game slate. But for me, this is going to be so like game script dependent. We talk about it all the time, but you know, you kind of have to go with how you think this game is going to go. And you play your guys around it. And then you might have some variation. That variation could be the players or that variation could be the game script, depending on how many lineups you're playing. But I'm feeling pretty strong about, and I could be wrong, but I'm feeling pretty strong about the Rams kind of controlling the line of scrimmage, that the Rams defense might get involved here. So like players like that, you know, whether it's Matt Gay or even Evan McPherson, I think all of those guys, the defense, I think they're all in play. There's not a lot by way of cost cutters. I mean, Samaje Perine's down there at 2,400. Kendall Blanton, you know, kind of priced up at 4,600. And then everybody else is kind of above that. There's really nobody below those two that I'm like super interested in. So it's going to be hard. I'll probably, you know, fade Cooper Kupp at your own risk, right? I might play him, but I might not play him with Stafford, for example.
Wow. See ya. No love for Ben Skowronek, huh? $600 here on the slate. I mean, you want to save some money. That's your guy. Not that I'm excited to play Ben Skowronek, but man, we're going to get desperate here on this slate. Let's take a look at the pricing. No surprise, Cooper Kupp, you mentioned him, the highest priced player at $11,600. What did I say last week? What did I say all season? Fade Cooper Kupp at your own risk. What did I do? I played Cooper Kupp in 1 out of 5 lineups. So that would explain why I didn't really have a great conference championship week myself. That number gets boosted all the way up to $17,400 in the captain spot. For the QBs, Matt Stafford is at $10,800. Joe Burrow, $200 less at $10,600. Mike, what do you think about the top tier here in terms of Cooper Kupp and the quarterbacks?
Yeah, it's going to be, you're going to have to make some sacrifices to get them in at the captain spot. There's no doubt about that. I'll play them. I'll definitely have exposure to all of them. I probably won't have a ton of Stafford in the captain spot. I'll most likely elect to play Cooper Kupp at that point. As far as Burrow, it's interesting. I think that one strategy that I like to use on this spot is, if you play Cooper Kupp and captain, it is kind of like the general thought process is, well, you probably want the guy that's throwing the football to him as well, just because of how correlated those points are. However, I will likely not be pairing Stafford with Kupp. I'll likely pair him with Burrow just because I think that there's still some correlation in that and Burrow having to throw the football a lot more. And I just think there are more paths to Burrow having a bigger game than Stafford at that point. So as far as where I'm going, though, I think it, in terms of simulations and models, Cam Akers is going to pop as someone that should be an optimal captain just because of the usage and the price point. If you look at the price point at 9,600, like that's the most obvious captain choice on the slate. I think he's going to be incredibly popular because, again, that's what most computers are going to spit out. As far as other values that I like a lot, I like Odell Beckham at captain, and I like the kickers at captain.
I'm going to ask you a little bit more about the kickers once we get down to their price point. See, the running backs, Joe Mixon, 9,600. Cam Akers, who Mike just mentioned, only 6,400. That's before you put him into the captain spot. Sony Michel at 5K. Samaje Perine down at 2,400. And I think it makes a lot of sense to be interested in Akers in this spot, just considering the discount relative to Joe Mixon's price point on this slate.
Totally agree. Yeah, Akers is going to be probably in all of my lineups. It's just it's preliminary because we're so far out, but that's my guess. He's definitely going to be in some of my captain spots. With the game script I'm foreseeing, I mean, I think you could actually have Akers and Sony Michel in your lineup, and maybe that might end up being the optimal lineup if the game with maybe the Rams defense, if the game goes the way I think it could go. If you put those three in there, you could still add Cooper Kupp. And you could still add a primary player for the Bengals and then just go from there with your sixth spot. So, yeah, I like Cam Akers a lot. Mixon, I'm a little undecided on because I do think he's going to get some receptions. So I think he's going to end up getting some yardage. He's going to get that full point per catch. I just question his upside, and so therefore I question his points per dollar, whether that's really worth it. So I'll probably be leaning towards, in a negative game script, trying to get the receivers in my lineup like T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase as opposed to Joe Mixon.
All right, well, let's look at the Rams pass catchers. Mike, you just mentioned OBJ at 8,400. Seems a little bit high, but obviously coming off a massive game. And I think seeing that salary and the fact that his touchdown props are moving and people are excited, like, man, there's a lot of excitement about Odell Beckham in this game, and I think it makes a lot of sense. Van Jefferson is 5,200. Higbee, 4,800. If he can't go, Kendall Blanton is there at 4,600. So again, those backup tight ends are already priced up here. What do you think about the Rams pass catchers?
Yeah, you know, we don't talk about this a lot, but it is projecting as close to a slate where I might be punting one spot for sure, maybe two. I've done a lot, like in the NBA finals, actually. I know I hate to keep going cross sport, but I want to give good examples to show you that it's possible. In the NBA finals last year in the showdown slates, I would intentionally take a zero with a lineup spot with a guy that wasn't even eligible to play because it was free. And I took down three out of those games. I won the entire slate three times because I had the best plays at every other spot. This game, it's not like the Chiefs. It's not like some of these other teams we've seen. The targets on both sides of the ball are extremely condensed. On the Cincinnati side, we know it's Chase. We know it's Higgins. We know it's Boyd since Uzama's out. On the other side, we know it's going to be Cooper Kupp. We know it's going to be Odell Beckham, right? Like, yes, there's Van Jefferson. Skowronek can get in. It's the obvious punt. But for me personally, I'm gonna put Odell Beckham in the lineup. I'm gonna put Cooper Kupp in the lineup, and if that means I have to take a zero in the lineup, I'm gonna do it.
All right, yeah. So I just kind of messing around here. You put Ben Skowronek in the lineup. I put together one that has T. Higgins, Joe Burrow, Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham, and Cam Akers. I mean, you probably want another Bengals pass catcher in there if you're playing Joe Burrow, but that's a lot of exposure to high upside fantasy players here in this spot. See the Bengals pass catchers, Ja'Marr Chase all the way up at 10,400. We see T. Higgins here at 7,600. Tyler Boyd at 5,400. Uzama at 44. And then Drew Sample priced up as well to 4,200. What do you think about the pricing for the Bengals pass catchers?
Yeah, it's like Mike said, it's super condensed. I don't think Drew Sample's part of the conversation. And honestly, I don't think CJ Uzama is going to play. Even if he does, I'd question how healthy he is. Obviously, we'll find out before the Super Bowl whether he practiced in full. But again, I'm not counting on any of the tight ends to be in my DFS lineup. So it's Higgins and Chase for me. I like Boyd. I think he's interesting, but I also question his upside. I mean, I just don't know how many red zone opportunities the Bengals are going to have. And to the extent they do have them, while I think Boyd is a good option, I think the first and second read, pretty much no matter what, are going to be Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say about Boyd is that if you don't want to play a Ben Skowronek, if you don't want to punt one of your spots in the lineup, you almost have to play Tyler Boyd, right? He's the only other pass catcher in this game that could be involved at his price point, right? So 5,400, it's just there's not a lot of pass catchers down there. Yeah, I think if Tyler Higbee is out, Kendall Blanton definitely could be involved for the Rams. So he's sub 5K. That's probably the other direction you're looking at as well.
The only thing I'll point out there, and he's not a pass catcher, but we've seen him catch passes, particularly last game, is Samaje Perine is only 2,400. So that's sort of in that puntish range where if you think he's going to get some screens, some receptions, maybe you don't have to go down to the Skoranek range. Maybe you go to Perine.
Yeah, I think if you're playing a lot of lineups, then you probably want to take a shot on Samaje Perine, at least in a few of those. Mike, you mentioned the kickers, and we have really strong kickers in this game. We probably should have mentioned earlier, I mean, maybe one matchup advantage. Not that Matt Gay is bad. I actually think he's a very good kicker. Evan McPherson is probably better than him. So maybe that's the advantage for the Cincinnati Bengals in this game. McPherson is 4K. Matt Gay is 3,800. And then we have the defenses, 3,400 for the Rams, 3,200 for the Bengals. Which kickers are you looking at? Are you looking at any defenses? What are the rules when it comes to playing kickers and defenses on Showdown?
Yeah, so I like both. I'll play double kicker lineups. There's a scenario here where I'm going to have both kickers and the Rams defense as three of the lineup spots. And then that'll obviously be a Cooper Kupp captain lineup. Bank on him grabbing receptions, not a ton of scoring. But the kickers are going to be your best friend here. You go look at McPherson's game log. He has double digit points in seven straight games. Now go look at his price point, $4,000. Go find every other player in this player pool that has double-digit fantasy points in seven straight games. It's going to be really hard to do, especially when you consider the price point at 4K. Same thing for Matt Gay. That number drops down to seven fantasy points, but on a single-game slate, seven fantasy points at 3.8K, not the worst thing in the world when you see routinely guys like even Akers, Mixon, Boyd. Those guys fail to hit double digits more often than not in some of these situations, right? So I'm going to have a ton of both kickers. It's the biggest source of edge in terms of like casual people playing for the Super Bowl. The reason for that is you don't use kickers in DFS anymore. You don't use them in a normal week. So they're not something that the normal person is used to thinking about, used to talking about. We like to think about scoring touchdowns. I think we see a lot of field goals here in this spot. So I'm actually most likely to fade both quarterbacks and play kickers. As I think that we see drives end. I think we see people put points on the board. That's just where I'm at personally. I have a lineup if you'd like me to share a preliminary lineup with you.
Do it. Do it.
It's one that I'll play, but the biggest piece of advice I didn't talk about early is do not use all the salary cap. It's the easiest way to guarantee that your lineup will be duplicated is if you use all 50,000. Now, after saying that, I'm going to give you a lineup that uses all 50,000 because it's going to be duplicated anyway after I share it with you. Odell Beckham at the captain spot. Cooper Kupp, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Matt Gay, Evan McPherson.
All right.
So all the target monsters that are going to catch passes, playing on the game script that they move the football, catch the passes, don't get in the end zone as often, which doesn't award the quarterbacks a lot of points, right? Mm-hmm. Then you've got the two field goal kickers, which if that game script is playing out where they're coming up short but moving the football, they're kicking field goals. It's going to be incredibly different to not have either of the quarterbacks in a lineup, but it would not shock me if you were able to get there if you have 8-10 receptions from some of these guys with not a ton of touchdowns. Don't be afraid to play the kickers. They are your best friend.
All right. And those things are directly correlated, right? Fading quarterbacks and playing kickers for the exact reason you mentioned, Mike, is that if these drives stall and the quarterbacks are not throwing touchdowns, then obviously they're probably not winding up with a lot of fantasy points because neither one of them rushes the ball. So they need passing touchdowns to have massive games. And if they don't do that, then we're probably going to see some pretty big games from both kickers here. And they're both talented guys. I mean, you mentioned how consistent McPherson has been. Matt Gay, double-digit fantasy points in six of his last nine games. That's great. At his cost, $3,800 here on the Showdown slate. Sia, do you have any thoughts when it comes to kickers or defense here?
No, I like all of it. I mean, I think I'm going to be playing the Rams defense in a lot of my builds, and I think that's going to correlate pretty well to playing Matt Gay. I like Gay a little bit more than I like McPherson, not because he's a better kicker, like you said. I just think he's going to be situationally, I think he's going to be in a more advantageous position for the Rams to be like, okay, we're going to kick the field goal here as opposed to a potentially trailing Bengals team late in the game. So I like everything Mike just said. I'll probably be, of those three, I'll be on the Rams defense the most, but I'm definitely going to be incorporating a lot of Matt Gay into my builds and maybe just a little bit of Evan McPherson.
All right. Well, this one went a little bit longer than I expected, but man, it's the Super Bowl. There's a lot to talk about. Again, next week we'll be back on Tuesday and Thursday. We'll be breaking down some player props on one of those, and then we'll look closer at the DFS slate here for the Super Bowl. For Sia and Mike, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Football Today DFS. We'll be back again on Tuesday. We'll see you then.
Docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.